We present Anything Legal by Wally K. Daly, starring Donald Hewlett and Michael Knowles, with special guest Douglas Blackwell.
We've got a business.
George,
go to office. We'll make our fortune.
George,
please. Oh, yes, Charles.
Stop it this instant.
Stop it?
Yes.
What it, Charles?
This it.
Oh, yes. I can't help it, I'm afraid.
But everyone's looking.
Sorry, it's just restrained excitement.
You call this restrained? You're jiggling from foot to foot with the alacrity of a demented marmoset.
I'm sorry, Charles, but I simply cannot help it. Our very first day as our very own bosses in our very own office running our very own business.
Exactly. And in such circumstances, restrained enthusiasm, the true meaning of the word restrained, would be much more in keeping with our new image. Calm, courteous, and cool. Your boop doop 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 and leaping from one foot to the other like a budgie with chilblains is just not on.
Sorry, Charles. I'll try to bear that in mind. No more boopy doop.
Good. Decorum, that's the answer. Still jiggling, George.
Am I?
Are you sure you don't want to go somewhere? If so, go now. The 8:15 is non-corridor.
No, it's not that. They seem to have a life of their own this morning. My feet, that is.
I'm glad it's only your feet.
If only our train would be on time today. Chug us off to our new career.
You said they didn't anymore.
Didn't?
Trains.
What?
Chug.
Chug?
Yes, you said they didn't.
Did I?
Yes.
Well, romantic life.
What on earth is the connection between chug and a wedding certificate?
Wedding certificate?
Romantic license.
Oh, no. Not that sort of romantic license, Charles. Flight of fancy romantic license.
Oh, that sort.
That's the one. Sunshine smiling, little puffs of cloud like cotton wool balls pinned against a peerless blue sky. And our sturdy little train whooing into view round the track, dead on time.
Oh, sure, that's going a bit far. Even for romantic fiction, isn't it, George?
What?
Our train, dead on time.
Yes, you could be right. No, look.
Good Lord. Amazing. Dead on time.
An omen, that's what it is, Charles, an omen. Our new career underway with a miracle. It's heaven sent.
No, it isn't. It comes from working. Right, come on, George. Leap aboard. Let's get underway to our new career.
Oh, no. Hold the train for 2 minutes, Charles.
Why, what is it?
I simply must dash to the little boy's room.
So, there we have it, George.
We must certainly have, Charles.
Our very own office telephone.
Yes. Looks a bit lonely, though, sitting in the centre of the desk all by itself.
Well, we'll get it a typewriter soon to keep it company.
Good thinking. Lovely colour.
Oh, without a doubt. Perfect, absolutely perfect.
I always find red a rather thrusting colour, don't you?
It isn't red, it's green.
Exactly. Green's perfect. Matches our new coffee mugs exactly.
That wasn't why we chose green, George.
Of course not. I do realise that. Just mentioned in passing that, coincidentally, it matched our mugs.
Oh, good.
By the way, Charles, why did we pick a green telephone?
Because it fits in with our corporate image, George. The general air of quiet efficiency we wish to establish in this, our very first business venture together.
Of course.
Green, as you know, stands for calm, courteous, and cool. In the unwritten managerial colour code, that is.
Does it really?
Oh, yes.
Ah, and red?
Oh, flibbertigibbety, frivolous, fly-by-night, wouldn't do at all.
Goodness dear. Do you think it'll ever actually ring?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, the ad was in the paper last evening, Anything Legal plus the number, so there's not a lot more we can do, apart from sit back and wait hopefully for a diversity of projects to come flooding in.
On our new green phone?
Exactly.
Sitting as it is on the desk?
That's the one.
You don't think it will be better the other way round?
I beg your pardon?
With the advert in the evening paper. Anything Legal plus the number.
Well, what about it?
Well, don't you think it would be slightly more dynamic, that being the image we want to project, along with the courteous, caring, cool thing, etc., etc., if it was totally reversed? Done, as it were, the other way round, in fact.
You've gone all conversationally fuzzy, George.
Have I?
Yes, the words are coming out individually as clear as a bell, but when they line up in my orifices as potential sentences, they're simply not making any sort of sense at all. I mean, how can you reverse the other way around?
Sorry, I'll try again.
Good fellow, be as well. If we're going to be in partnership together for any length of time, George, best ensure we have reasonable lines of communication open between us and a modicum of comprehension in our everyday enumerations. Would, I imagine, be quite useful.
Pardon?
Help if we understand each other.
But of course. What was I saying?
Oh, Lord alone knows, George. Total gibberish as far as I can make out.
I remember the advert.
Ah, the advert.
Would it, on balance, have been better, rather than saying anything legal, ring 1234, etc., to say 1234 for anything legal?
That's not our number, George.
I didn't mean put 1234, etc. in. I was using that number as an example, not knowing our own number.
It's in front of you, a little round disc beneath the plastic. 838-2684.
But of course. So what do you think?
Of what?
My idea.
What idea?
Ring 838-2684 for anything legal, rather than anything legal, ring 838-2684.
No. I think the present ad seems quite adequate for its purpose. Anything legal, ring, what have you, should get people moving.
But we haven't had a phone call yet.
Yes, that's a good point. Look, if it doesn't get a reaction by tomorrow, we'll change the wording round to what you suggest.
Fine. Might be better, come to that.
Look, I have agreed, George. There's no need to gloat.
Sorry, Charles. Nice of them to come so quickly, though.
Who?
Telephone engineer.
Oh, them.
Yes.
All part of their new image.
Dynamic and thrusting.
They're the ones.
Still, credit where credit's due. They were very speedy. Ordered yesterday and here today.
Well, if it doesn't ring soon, it'll be here today and gone tomorrow.
I wonder if it does actually ring. Not by any chance out of order or anything.
Well, we could find out. Just pick it up. Dial 3 digits. Put it down. And...
it's ringing, Charles. Don't panic, don't panic. I'll get it.
George!
Hello, anything legal? Help, I tell you.
George!
Good Lord, there's no one there. Just the dialing tune.
George!
Yes?
I made it ring.
You? But how...
I watched the engineer yesterday when he tested the phone after installing it. He dialed 3 digits, put it down, and it rang. I simply remembered the digits that he dialed, and did likewise. Observe. Gosh! While we're on the subject, George, I think we don't grab the phone as soon as it starts ringing as you did then and scream at it in panic.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, we let it ring 3 times, then we pick it up, and quietly and confidently we say, hello? Anything legal? Can I help you? You see?
I say, that was awfully good.
That's very nice of you to mention it.
What a terribly good telephone man you've got, Charles. I had no idea.
Oh, it's just practice, George. You try it.
Can I? Of course, super. Let it ring 3 times. Pick it up. Hello. Anything legal? Can I help you? There now, how's that, Charles?
Fine. There's just one small point. You may have noticed, between me saying, would you like to try, and the phone ringing, I didn't actually dial the necessary 3 digits to make it ring.
Good God! How amazing! And it's still ringing.
It's not so amazing, George. That was obviously our very first customer. And you just slammed the phone down on him.
Oh, boss, no.
Yes, I'm afraid so. Still, fingers crossed, chances are they'll ring again. Ah, here we go, George. Cool, calm, very collected. Remember the wartime spirit.
I'll do my best, Major.
Good chap. I knew I could count on you when the pressure was on.
Hello. Anything legal? Can I help you? Ah. Oh, yes. Yes, I see. Uh-huh. Well, no, actually, not my line of country at all. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, my wife isn't too keen on that sort of thing either. Particularly with someone she hasn't met socially. Well, to be honest, it wouldn't make a great deal of difference how charming the young man was, whose arm she was in. You see, she does get headaches. so it's not really on. Lying down would be all right. But standing up, occasionally on the one leg, just isn't on. Not with her headaches. Oh, as a matter of just, how much would I actually have to pay the young man? Oh, fees direct to the management. How sensible. How much? £50. Well, it seems quite reasonable for 5 years. And you see, the first one's free to make sure she and the young chap are suited. Well, very well, I will put it to her. But being honest, what with her headaches, and the fact he presumably does it to music. Oh, by the way, would there be any additional charge if I decided to come along and watch? No, I definitely wouldn't want to join in. As I say, not my sort of thing at all. But no charge. Good. Well, I'll be in touch. Bye. Right. So where were we, Charles? Oh, yes. You were showing me the preferred method of taking a phone call. You all right, Charles? You look a little pallid.
Pallid? Of course I'm pallid. What on earth was all that about?
What?
That. You're Hillary in the arms of some young chap doing it on wooden leg to music and paying £50 for it and then watching.
Oh, no, I don't think I'll watch if she decides to go ahead. Can be a bit off-putting, that sort of thing. Seeing a grown person, or an overgrown person, comes to that, in the arms of some poor instructor.
Instructor?
Yes, that was the telephone salesman from the local school of ballroom dancing. Thought I might like some lessons.
Well, that's what it was, a dancing school.
But what else could it possibly have been?
Oh, nothing, George. I was just wondering. I didn't stop to think.
Still, at least we know the phone's working.
Yes, indeed.
Just 3 times, and I'll take it.
Right.
Charles?
George?
What do we do now?
Well, there's not a lot we can do. Except wait to see if they ring again.
Perhaps we should have picked it up the first ring.
No, it's not good for the image. It would have looked as though we were perched over the phone waiting for it to ring.
But we are perched over the phone waiting for it to ring.
Yes, but nobody knows that except us.
True. But perhaps we should just let it ring twice today, as it's our first day.
Good thinking. I'll get it this time. Hello? Anything legal? Oh, damn, they've gone. They're impatient devils, whoever they are.
Hyperactive, perhaps.
Yes, you could be right. Either that or painfully shy.
If it by any chance rings again, shall we just, what, for once? Let it ring just the once, if it rings again, perhaps?
Right. Let's stand by to snatch it up. Stand by. Go! Hello? Hello? Anything? Nothing. Just the dialing tone.
It could be a message, of course.
A message?
Yes, you know. I'm ringing from the phone box at the station. Be home in half an hour, darling. Get my slippers by the fire, pour the sherry, and put the casserole on to cook, sort of thing.
Are you feeling all right today, George?
All right.
Yes, you're not going quietly potty or anything, are you?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, good. For one dreadful second, I thought the fact you'd been made redundant and forced to go into business with me might have unhinged your poor, tired brain slightly.
What on earth did you think that, Charles?
Well, it was the I'm ringing from the phone box at the station, darling. Slippers, sherry, casserole on to cook, probably.
Oh, Dad. But don't you see what I mean?
No. Being perfectly frank and honest, George, I haven't the foggiest idea. You've gone all conversationally hazy on me again.
Clear as a pikestaff. One ring on the phone can mean anything you want it to mean to a person in the know, and you don't have to waste money actually phoning properly, i.e., putting money in the slot after the pips. Now, for instance, if you wanted to let Marjorie know you were about to get on the train, you'd give her one ting. And if you just missed it, you'd give her two.
But she knows what time I get on the train, and I never miss it. I'm as regular as prunes.
It's just an example. Assorted things can mean anything to anyone, depending on what's been agreed.
Different things to different people, as the Irish would say.
They really?
What?
Mean different things to the Irish.
Oh, I've no idea. Right, you were saying?
Well, I mean, if one's mistress wanted to say good night to one without upsetting one's lady wife, she could do so by giving one a friendly ting.
George. I don't believe it. What a dreadful admission for you to make after all these years.
What admission?
That you've got a mistress.
Gosh, what an awful thing to suggest.
Well, you started it. If one's mistress wants to say good night, you said?
I mean one's mistress generally.
Not specifically.
Good Lord, no.
Ah, I see, generally. Thank goodness for that.
Shall I, Charles?
No, just ignore it. They'll ring off after a few rings.
Fine. It's going on ringing.
Well, give it two more rings. And if it doesn't stop, you can pick it up. How's that?
Fine.
One. Two. Off you go.
Hello. Anything legal? Can I help you? Hello? Anyone there? Charles? This is decidedly strange.
What?
Heavy breathing.
What? Let me listen.
What do you make of it, Charles?
What?
Well?
Damn it. That's all we need to make our day. Our very first dirty phone call.
George.
Sorry.
What time is it?
One-ish.
Gosh, is that all?
Pray so.
Feels as though we've been here for days.
At least. What a waste of a morning.
Not a dicky bird. Apart from two wrong numbers and the man from British Telecom ringing to wish us good luck.
Nice of him to call, though.
Oh, yes.
Do you think we've made the right decision? Going into business by ourselves, Charles?
Probably. All new businesses are slow to take off. Once the word starts to spread among our clients about what good service we give, we'll be awash with work in no time, you'll see.
Trouble is, at the moment, we've got no clients to start the word spreading.
No, true. I tell you what, George.
What?
Let's go and have a bit of lunch while we talk it over.
Good thinking. Oh, little pub across the way?
Perfect. After you, George.
No, after you.
Oh, fair enough.
Be nice to get a little fresh air.
Yes, it will indeed. Quite a stuffy morning, all things considered.
Pardon?
Listen.
What?
Is that our phone?
Good Lord, I think it is.
Come on! Locked! Keys, George, quick!
You've got them, Charles.
No, I haven't.
Yes, I quite distinctly remember saying, shall I keep the key? And you saying, no, I'll keep the one and only one till we have a copycat.
I don't remember saying any such thing, George.
But you did, Charles, you did. And then you carefully put the key in your back pocket.
I assure you, George, I have... Oh, yes, here it is, back pocket.
Quick, Charles, dash for it.
Right. Yeah.
What now?
We'll wait for them to ring back.
Unless it was a burglar.
Oh, don't be silly, George. This is obviously a client, probably checking the number even now, prior to ringing us straight back.
Well, what do you think?
It's been nearly 10 minutes and they haven't rung back yet, so chances are they won't.
Until we start walking down the stairs again.
Exactly.
Perhaps one of us should go and the other stay. What do you think?
I'm not terribly keen on pub lunches by myself, particularly in unfamiliar pubs. You pop off and I'll hold the fort.
Well, I'm not too keen either, being honest.
Well, there we have it.
Leave the phone off the hook, perhaps.
Answer phone would be a better answer. Leave your message after the pip sort of thing.
Surely we wouldn't get one in time to allow us to go to lunch today.
No, I shouldn't have thought so, no.
Tell you what, how about an office junior? School leaver could do the files, make the tea and answer the phone.
Apart from the fact we've got no files and the phone doesn't ring and an unemployed school leaver is unlikely to knock on our door in the next few seconds. Excellent idea, George.
Thought you'd like it.
Still, it doesn't give us the answer to our lunch.
Phone off the hook's about the best for the moment.
Right. To the pub.
How's your sausage and chips, Charles?
By the taste of it, the usual fine mix of kesp and sawdust.
Ah. Same with my shepherd's pie. Tastes as though the shepherd's accidentally dropped his crook into the mixing bowl. He's got ground down with a bone and gristle.
Yeah. Fairly typical pub fare, then.
Yes. We'll learn to love it in time, no doubt.
Not if that damn phone keeps ringing, I shan't.
It's just rather busy, isn't it?
It's amazing. We're running a business offering superb service of an unspecified nature, and don't get a dicky bird. And this chap, who doesn't offer anything but booze and dodgy sausages, is snowed under with phone calls. That must be the tenth he's taken since we arrived.
Perhaps he's got a lot of friends.
I shouldn't have thought so. Not of the way he's been skulking around scowling is a fair indication of his normal demeanor.
You have a point. Must say, he does look a bit moody for a publican.
Probably a retired income tax inspector. Took this job to keep his hand in at spreading misery and depression. Talking of which, let's get back to our own business, or rather, lack of it.
As you said in the office, early days.
More like a total daze. To be honest, George, I'm shattered. Our business idea has produced no reaction at all. And perhaps, no stronger than that, I may have got it quite wrong.
Wrong? You mean it may not be too good as an idea?
I mean slightly stronger than that, even. Perhaps we should think about calling it a day, close the office down, pack it up, give in, admit defeat, something like that.
It's only our first day. As you said, all new businesses are slow to take off.
I know, tragic. And that doesn't help. That damn telephone ringing away. Come on, George. Let's find out what this chap gets up to as a sideline to pulling pints.
Well...
Oh, come on. For all you know, he may even like us to take it off his hands.
Don't want it if it makes one that miserable. I'll stay and finish my quest.
Oh, all right, then.
No, it is not. Look, I don't care what number you've got written down there in black and white. It's nothing to do with me. I don't want to know what it's all about. I don't care what it's all about. Good day.
Excuse me.
What is it?
A bit of trouble?
You wouldn't believe it. Some idiot's only going to put my phone number in the paper under a false name. Phone hasn't stopped. See, here we go again. Hello? No, this is not anything legal. I don't know anything about anything legal, and I don't want to know anything about anything legal. So,
did you say anything legal?
Don't you start.
I was just referring to the name.
That's the false name that went with my telephone number.
Yippee! George, come quickly! Yippee!
That's all I need, a yodeling cowboy.
Okay, all right, Charles. You look a little apoplectic.
I'm positively ecstatic. You'll never guess.
What?
We're in business.
In business?
Yes, that telephone number we put in the paper with our advert is the wrong one.
How do you know that?
Simple. All the calls from our prospective clients have been flooding into the phone of our good friend here.
Good Lord. You mean you're anything legal?
Yes. Isn't it marvelous?
No, it is not. It is you two who've caused me all this irritation and general aggravation and helped to ruin what could have been a very pleasant morning.
Then what can I possibly say, but what will you have?
Oh, oh, well, that's different. A double anything will do very nice.
Oh, this calls for a celebration.
It most certainly does.
So, two halves for us as well.
Our very first job, Charles. Do you realize we've got our very first job?
Yes.
I simply cannot tell you how thrilled I am. How totally, totally thrilled. Have you any conception at all as to how I feel at this moment, Charles?
Thrilled?
Got it. Right on the button.
Awfully good of the publican to let us sit there till closing time waiting for further calls.
Yes. Funny how the phone didn't ring for so long after you gave permission, mind.
I agree. Very strange. Almost as though it knew we were waiting. Still, just managed to get that one important call before he closed.
Well, you've got all the details, Charles. What did the chap say?
He asked why we had someone in our office calling, "Time, gentlemen, please."
Ah, that accounts for it.
Accounts for what?
Why, you said we were running a course for trainee publicans.
Well, it seemed the best answer in the circumstances.
Absolutely. Anyway, what's the job, Charles? Let's have a look at the details.
Right. I'll just find the crisp packet. Ah, here we are.
Well?
This is one for you, I think, George.
Really?
Should present no problem to a man with your way with words, your flair for the romantic.
Really?
Yes. The request is quite simple. Our client requires a paean of praise in the form of a simple poem to a poppet called Penelope. And we get a £5 notes for our trouble.
£5? It's not much of a fee, Charles.
It's a start, George. The trouble is, of course, I can't write rhymes for toffee.
Coffee.
I beg your pardon?
A rhyme for toffee, coffee.
See? Yeah. I told you it was your cup of tea, George. I knew straight off. So on with the creative cap and a poem for Penelope.
Right. It'll be a bit strange saying romantic things about a lady who isn't Hillary.
Even stranger saying romantic things about Hillary.
True. Well, here goes for our first fiver. A poem for Penelope.
Good chap. Off you go.
See now, eyes like a startled doe, watching me come and go. No, makes it sound like a transfixed rabbit.
Now, I don't want to interrupt the flow, George, but how's it going?
Very good. To the end of the first line. Gets a bit sticky after that. Penelope, Penelope, a poem in your memory. What do you think?
Well, you had that one hours ago. Haven't you managed to come up with any more lines yet?
Yes, dozens. They're all perfectly potted and ripe for ripping up.
Rachel, then, is going to cost more than the £5 in paper.
I can't help it. Poetry is not a medium I would turn to in the normal course of events. My idea of relaxation is curling up with a good commercial.
Well, think of Penelope as a commercial. And just write the perfect jingle, George.
Penelope beats, as Penelope sweeps, as Penelope cleans, sort of thing.
Yes. Something like that. Slightly more original, perhaps.
Right, here goes.
Now, here stops, I'm afraid. This is where we get off.
Doesn't time fly when you're penning poetry?
Yes, or not penning it, as the case may be. We'll meet at the Dog and Duck later this evening, so you can show me the finished masterpiece.
Fine. Now you've given me the secret, I'll be finished in no time.
I'm pleased to be of help. George! Over here, George! I've already got one in for you. George, what on earth's the matter? You look perfectly ghastly.
So I should, Charles.
Well, sit down, have a quick slug to revive yourself.
Oh.
What is it?
Bad news, I'm afraid.
You haven't finished the poem.
Oh, yes. I finished it all right. It's beautiful, even though I say it myself. Quite the most beautiful commercial stroke poem has ever been penned to a Penelope since poetry began, I shouldn't wonder.
Gosh, how did you manage?
Got home, went to the study, pored over some Wordsworth, some Tennyson, then switched on the telly for the commercials. All to put myself in the mood. Went and locked myself in the loo and started to scribble. By the time Hillary had asked for the third time if I had an upset stomach, it was completed.
That's marvellous.
Not quite. When I went for my bath, I left the poem on the window ledge of the loo. Remembered it too late.
What reminded you?
Hillary's screams.
Hillary... Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
So she must think...
Exactly. Looked like divorce at one point.
No.
Yes.
How on earth did you get out of it?
Well...
Yes?
Well, by dropping you right in this, as it happens. What? I'm frightfully sorry, old chap, but there was no other way. I mean, I couldn't tell it was our first job. We decided not to tell our wives we'd gone into business until we were a success. So, no other course open to me, I'm afraid.
What exactly did you say, George?
I went as near to the truth as I dared without giving anything away. I told her you'd asked me to write the poem to Penelope for you.
What?
Well, you did ask me to write it now, didn't you?
Yes, but... Oh, well, it's not too bad. As long as Marjorie doesn't get to hear of it, there's no damage done.
That was the bad news I mentioned earlier.
Bad news?
Hillary was on the phone reading it to Marjorie as I left the house.
All for £5? You do realize, don't you? This will be the cheapest divorce on record.
You've been listening to Anything Legal by Wally K. Daly, starring Donald Hewlett as Charles and Michael Knowles as George, with Douglas Blackwell as the publican. The theme music was written by Jim Parker, and the program was produced by John Fawcett Wilson.